Blog Talk Radio.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is
bugging. It's one or two suckers, ignorant brothers, trying to rob and steal from one another. You get caught in the mid. So to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that you could unite and fight for what's right. Not. Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and copy. You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Production, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, abortion and paternal rights. Should the father of an unborn child have a deciding opinion about aborting an unborn fetus? So what does abortion mean? Termination of a fetus or unborn child means that this fetus is a child that's not been fully matured in the womb, and means you're going to terminate that life. So this is to be very, very clear about what we're talking about. And most often it's performed during the first 28 weeks. I guess that's probably what the safest period for it or something. Abortion definition by Webster's legal definition of abortion. It's a termination of a pregnancy after, accompanied by, or closely followed by the death of the embryo or fetus, especially the medical procedure of inducing expulsion of a human fetus to terminate a pregnancy. So medical procedure, terminate the baby in the womb and then the baby comes out or something. Okay? So I heard David Chappelle state, if a woman has a right to choose to terminate a pregnancy, a man should have the right to choose not to be a father. It was a joke, but what a joke. And I don't know if I quoted him right, but I think that was about what he said. I think he got a lot of flack because of that. Some might argue it's a woman's body and she has authority over her body. She has sole authority over what is in or comes out of her body. You can't force a woman to have a child, especially if she does not want a child and may not want a child with the father. The father may not want to have a child with the mother and may want to opt for termination. That's where things get a little tricky. If he cannot force her to have a child, he definitely will not be able to force her to terminate a fetus. Again, some might argue the fetus is as much of the father's as it is the mother's, and he should have a voice in rather or not to terminate a fetus. He could want to terminate the child. He might say, hey, you had a baby, I got it. Right? Unfortunately, it's just not that simple of a process. That's an easy thing to say, go full term, if you never have been or can become pregnant. The child is not growing in and changing his body, and he will not be experiencing the pains of labor, not to mention the risk of the death during childbirth. Then there's the issue of morality and ethics. Is it right to terminate the life of a fetus at any point? Legal is not always a reflection of moral, ethical, or what is right. It means law enforcement will not be locking you up for your decision to do something that is legal, anything legal. From the right to life of a fetus, from the right to life. These people are the national right to life. That's what they call it. They're speaking on the right to life of a fetus. It was interesting. I just threw this in here. If you murder a woman who is pregnant, this was the question I asked. If you murder a woman who is pregnant, is that a homicide? They said 38 states recognize the unlawful killing of an unborn child as a homicide in some circumstances. The Federal Unborn Victims of Violence Act, enacted April 1st, 2004, covers unborn victims of federal and military crimes. That's interesting. Keywords here are unlawful killing, which indicates that there is a lawful way to kill or terminate the life of a fetus. There is the genocide that abortion can perpetuate also. It deserves mentioning, but that in itself is another show. From human defense, men often feel powerless at the whim of societal pressures to allow the mother to end their child's life. And with no true legal right for fathers regarding abortion, the ability to advocate for the life of your child seems impossible. Fathers have no right to be notified of their partner's decision to abort their child, nor do they have the right of non-consent to the abortion. Upholding the rights of the fathers to protect their preborn child's life becomes a crucial stepping stone into creating a pro-life culture and outlawing abortion. Gender roles provide balance within society, and when the issue of abortion is dominated by its impact on women, we regularly fail to recognize the impact on men. Basically saying men get the short end of the stick in terms of having authority to dictate or make that decision. Anyone who is pro-abortion, whether they value consent, the answer will most likely be yes. Ask them whether they believe a man must consent to a woman aborting their child. Their answer will most likely be no. Okay? Planned Parenthood. How much does abortion cost? Nationwide, the cost at health centers ranges from $350 to $950 in the first trimester. The cost is usually more for a second trimester abortion. Costs vary depending upon how long you've been pregnant and where you go. You can get an abortion pill from a doctor, a nurse, health clinic, or Planned Parenthood health center. You may be able to get the abortion pill for free or low cost. Abortion pill can cost up to around $1,000. I never even heard of a pill called $1,000, but who am I? But it's often less than that, okay? So, what has the law said about terminating a fetus? So, that's the question. So, we're going to get into some legal stuff right here. And I kind of mentioned it previously through this last couple of paragraphs I read. Constitutional protection for the right to abortion, from Roe to Casey to whole woman's health, is a landmark ruling. Those are the major cases. I think it's three of them, major ones. Roe versus Wade. I think that's the one anybody probably hears about, though. The Supreme Court recognized the right to abortion is a fundamental liberty protected by the 14th Amendment and the Constitution. Since Roe, the court has repeatedly reaffirmed the Constitution's protection for this essential liberty, which guarantees each individual the right to make personal decisions about family and childbearing. Accordingly, the court has made clear that it cannot dismiss the certain cost of overruling Roe for people who have ordered their thinking and living around the case. Planned Parenthood of Southeast Pennsylvania versus Casey says, over the decade, since the court first held that the Constitution encompasses protection for the right to abortion, including its most recent decision in Whole Woman's Health versus Hellerstedt, it has also recognized that without access to abortion, the right is meaningless. Roe built on earlier cases in which the court held that the constitutional right to privacy protected an individual's right to reproductive autonomy. Okay? In Griswold versus Connecticut, the court struck down a ban on the use or sale of contraceptives to married couples because it violated the constitutional right to privacy. So that's saying you have a right to use contraception. And I guess that's better than having to go to that stage where you're dealing with a fetus. Better to kill some sperm cells, you know, than a fetus if you're going to go that route. You have to. And Eisenstedt versus Baird, the court extended this fundamental right to contraception to unmarried people. Said you have a right to use contraception. This is some deep stuff right here. I can't imagine this going to the Supreme Court and going to higher courts and this thing, just, you know, contraception. And anyway, they elaborate on the right to privacy as the right of the individual, married or single, to be free from unwarranted governmental intrusion into matters so fundamentally affecting a person as the decision whether to bear or beget a child. So this, you know, it even moved on contraception. I didn't know there was a court case behind contraception. I know about the, Roe and Wade. I heard of that, you know, I did intercourse about it, but they even had, you know, take it to the higher courts about contraception. So, very interesting. They say basically, the government, they people to be free from unwarranted government intrusion into matters so fundamentally affecting a person as a decision whether to bear or beget a child. Protecting access to abortion effectuates vital constitutional values, including dignity, autonomy, equality, and bodily integrity. In its ruling on abortion, the court recognized the ability of women to participate equally in the economic and social life of the nation has been facilitated by their ability to control their reproductive lives. I guess that means they can't be stuck at home having babies, you know, just barefoot pregnant. That little saying that people say, keep a woman home, keep her in the kitchen barefoot pregnant, you know, having kids every year because, you know, people care about their children and they're going to, you know, want to be there to raise them. So they said if they can control their reproductive, ability, they have more time to participate in, you know, political processes or, corporate things too, because that's a political thing too. But that's another show. We're not going to get into that. I said three key cases defined. These three are just named, right? Define the constitutional protection for a woman's right to abortion. Roe, Planned Parenthood of Southern Pennsylvania, and Casey, and Whole Woman's Health versus Hellerstedt. In Roe, the court struck down Texas' criminal ban on abortion and held that The right to terminate a pregnancy is a fundamental right. So that's for you men who might be looking at the situation and thinking that you are powerless, as I just read, you are pretty, legally you are powerless unless you can have a conversation with the, you know, I don't know, it might be your wife, your girlfriend, your lover, or whatever, about, you know, the outcome of that situation. You are legally powerless. This is we're talking about the Constitution of the United States here, protecting that right. And I'm not saying the speaking for or against abortion, because what we're talking about is the right of the paternal right. Does a male have any? Should he have any rights? Does he have any rights legally? You've been listening. A male has no legal right in the determination to terminate a fetus. He has no. What they say? No, he don't have a nickel in that quarter. He has nothing. Okay. The court, they say, thus recognized the great detriment that the state would impose upon the pregnant woman by denying this choice, including forcing her to endure health risks associated with pregnancy and the cost of bringing a child into a family not prepared for one. The court recognized two interests, potential life and woman's health, and announced that it would use the trimester system to determine when each abortion, determine when each of the state's interests was compelling, disallowing state regulation of abortion in the first trimester, but permitting more regulation as pregnancy advanced. That's strange. Disallowing state regulation of abortion. Okay. Making it easier the earlier you do it, and permitting more regulation as pregnancy advanced. I guess that means that at some point you're not going to be able to get an abortion. If you do it early, you have less resistance from government law, to make it all clear. But as the fetus develops, then these different trimesters of development, it's going to get a little more complicated. So that's pretty involved right there. You know, that's a pretty involved process, you know, because I know that we have people, and I understand we have to have it associated with a church to think that something is right or wrong, but you have people who have this idea, and we all have ideas, and some people, it's not even a matter of whether it's right or wrong, it's a matter of what I need to do for me right now. I need to do this for me. It has nothing to do with if it's right or wrong. It's right now. It's the thing that I need to happen for me. And it might be maybe not a good situation for that child. I don't know how people might be thinking about it. Anyway, the court affirmed Roe's holding that states cannot ban abortion prior to viability. The joint option departed from strict scrutiny and adopted the undue burden standard to determine which restrictions were unconstitutional. So, if you didn't get anything out of what I just read, just get this much. A woman has a constitutional right to decide whether to have a child, go full term, give birth, or to terminate that pregnancy. That's all that basically is saying. They had big talk in the courts, in the big courts, about this idea and this situation, and they came to the conclusion that's her right, protected by the 14th Amendment, which you really don't need to know. Just know that, you know, the law is behind her when she makes that decision to terminate. She has the weight of the law behind her. Moral, ethically, depending on which what your belief system is, individual or organized religious beliefs, That's something that we all struggle with every day, about concerning decisions that we make. But you know, this is not an easy subject, you know, to kind of even talk about when you're talking about another person's body and another person's life and another person's body. That's not your normal type of situation that you want to have to deal with. So the undue standard thus aims to give real substance to the urgent claims of the woman to retain the ultimate control over her destiny and her body. That goes, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, it's my body, right? And do what I want to do, it's my body. And, you know, you can't argue with that. It's her body. So what are you going to do? Tie her up somewhere, make her have a baby? Can't do that. It's kidnapping, right? So it's her body. So this looks like Pennsylvania law had imposed a 24-hour mandatory delay on women seeking abortion. The state mandated information, biased counseling, intended to persuade women to choose childbirth over abortion, and parental consent and spousal notice mandate, among other requirements. And you know, that's a no-no. So this is the Quaker state, so maybe this was part of those Quaker values that they came up with this, trying to, you know, get the woman to change her mind about terminating the pregnancy, you know, have the baby. And, you know, I guess it's a noble act, you know, trying to disable the unborn fetus. But it's not legal to try to prevent a woman from exercising her constitutional right. They're already protected by the Constitution. So Pennsylvania, I don't see where they have a right to, you know, because the longer you wait, the more difficult this situation becomes. And I'm never been pregnant, can't get pregnant, but I'm assuming that the longer a woman who wants to terminate a pregnancy waits, the more emotionally stressful that situation becomes for her. If it looks like somebody's trying to, you know, prevent her from doing what she needs to do or wants to do, in this case, terminate a pregnancy. So I can imagine that the stress that she might be feeling, you know, just seeing that you have some lawmakers putting up some roadblocks. You already made your mind up. You know what you want to do with your body. And then you have somebody telling you, but first, you got to do this. You got to go through this, something you don't want to hear. Okay, so, and I guess that maybe that worked on some people, and they decided to have a baby, and everything, you know, was jippity-jippity after that. Maybe, you know, I don't know. I have no idea. So, I mean, there's a whole slew of the courts, people in the courts arguing about a woman's privilege. I'm not going to read all of them, but just read little excerpts that come from what I've read. They said, for over four decades, women have rallied on the protection. The court has repeatedly reaffirmed the constitutional force to abortion, along with the underlying principles of liberty, dignity, equality, and bodily integrity. The right reflects. Right, so they have the Constitution, they have the weight of the Constitution of the United States, which is a big deal. Right, that's a big deal here. So that's how serious that situation had become. I didn't know that contraception had become a part of that argument also. That was very interesting too. So, what you should know about abortion and father's rights. So, it's not uncommon for father's rights to be considered secondary to the right of the mother and the child. Well, I just read it to you constitutionally. It's not even considered. And they had other things. They had some, I think they tried to had this thing about at least you got to inform the father that you're going to get an abortion. You got to let them know you get ready. You're going to abort the child anyway. Consent to abortion, I think this is, might be it right here. Should a male's pregnant partner wish to seek an abortion, the male's consent is not required by law. A woman may make the choice to terminate a pregnancy, even if the legal father objects to the procedure. Now, that's what the Constitution says. The reason behind this, it says twofold. Based on a woman's right to medical privacy, right? It's my body, this is a medical procedure, right? And the fact that the female body being more directly affected by the pregnancy. So, it's like I said previously, you know, her body's changing. She's taking all the risks, right? During the Supreme Court case of the Planned Parenthood versus Danforth, the court ruled that requiring a father's consent to having an abortion was unconstitutional, since a male's refusal would essentially veto a woman's right to choose. So she had a constitutional right to choose to have to terminate a fetus, and to allow a male to say, no, you can't do that, that would violate her constitutional right. So that's why that shot down in the legal world. Right to be notified. While a male's consent to having the abortion is not required, there have been questions about whether or not the alleged father has a right under the law to be notified that an abortion is taking place. This issue was addressed in the Supreme Court case. This is the hottest thing that's going on. A Planned Parenthood versus Casey, right? In which the court decided that an alleged father does, in fact, have a right to be notified of the abortion of his former sexual partner's pregnancy, even though many women discuss the possibility or decision of abortion with their partner or with the child's alleged father. So that seems to be something that women do anyway, right? It is not required for them to do so under law. Okay. Private agreement. Should a pregnant woman wish to terminate her pregnancy against the father's wishes, an attorney has the ability to draft an agreement where the alleged father agrees to pay the medical costs and other expenses of the pregnancy and then obtain full custody of the child after it's born. Okay? And that's, I guess that's in a situation where a woman who's willing to take the risk to experience those changes, go through 9 months of pregnancy, bear a child, risk death, pain, or whatever happens. I'm not claiming to be familiar with that situation. In some cases, these agreements are enough to help sway the pregnant woman from aborting and take the pregnancy to term. So it has worked for some people. Okay. Paternal interest in the abortion decision. Does the father have a say? Now, I already told you constitutionally, he doesn't. He doesn't even have a say in any way you look at it. Right? Because that's a medical procedure, that's her body, and she has the weight of the Supreme Court behind her. So you already know the answer to this. On November 14, 1988, in Connecticut, in Kahn versus Kahn, the Supreme Court affirmed without opinion an Indiana Supreme Court decision rejecting a man's attempt to block his estranged wife from having an abortion. As you just learned, that's unconstitutional, right? So if the court had granted him that, it would have reconsidered the question whether or not, to what extent, a man has a right to influence a woman's decision to have an abortion. In short, violate her constitutional right to terminate a pregnancy, right? Guarded by the 14th Amendment. So that's the serious stuff right there. And I didn't know that, you know, this is, these guys were in court. You know, this thing here, you know, women have fought for this, or people have fought for women to have this right to terminate a pregnancy. Anyway, the holding in Danforth, however, did not preclude a range of rights short of a veto that a man may assert against his wife's decision to abort. The court's refusal to hear Khan is indicative of its reluctance to address the difficult and controversial issue of paternal rights in the abortion decision, an issue which should untimely be settled. This comment will propose a state statute that would consider the father's interest prior to the mother procuring getting an abortion. The comment would show that the statute would withstand constitutional scrutiny. Okay, so apparently there's somebody, you know, in there trying to supersede the constitutional right of the woman. While holding in Danforth denies the father a unilateral veto over an abortion, that decision does not forbid a state law which balances a potential father's interest against the mother's right to an abortion. Indeed, the landmark decision in Roe actually allows state legislators to regulate abortion in a manner similar to that of the proposed statute. In addition, that Supreme Court has identified several interests of individuals, including men, relating to the creation and ordering of a family that are protected by the right of privacy. These arguably provide a man some degree of constitutional protection for his freedom to procreate and raise a family. Finally, there are state interests in promoting marriage and protecting the procreative potentials of its citizens, which incidentally may safeguard a prospective father's interest in his unborn child. So that's very interesting. They said to allow consideration of the interest of the other parties, the fact that one party initiates such a procedure does not render it a unilateral veto. Sounds like it, though. I don't know why not. Both state and federal courts have reached different conclusions on the question of whether fathers have a right to notice of an impending abortion. In 1981, the Fifth Circuit in Scheinberg versus Smith held constitutional a statute requiring that a married woman give her husband notice of the proposed termination of pregnancy. That's interesting. The state justified the notice provision as furthering two interests, maintaining and promoting the marital relationship and protecting a husband's interest in the protected potential of the marriage. Well, put a man on notice. I mean, they said basically most women had that conversation with these prospective fathers. I'm not having a child. I'm terminating this pregnancy. That's not really court worthy. The court weighed together the state's interests and balanced them against those of the mother, finally concluding that the Florida statute did not run afoul of the concept emphasized in Danforth. The statute requires notice, not consent. So, some of the state laws are different. I don't know how state laws don't support the Constitution. That's very interesting. So, anyway, the different holders in that case, and they had a case with Eubanks and Planned Parenthood of Rhode Island concerning a prospective father's ability to assert any rights as against a woman's right to an abortion can be attributed to the ambiguous holding in Dan Forth. That was, I just read that, right? The court in, that was Schoenberg. The court in Schoenberg emphasized that Dan Forth acknowledged paternal right and did not preclude the possibility of balancing these interests. Anyway, it goes on with some legal jargon and stuff like that. So that's what the law says about the thing. So it said they had a case, Doe versus Smith, to protect the father's thought to enjoin a woman from proceeding with an abortion. He's trying to stop it, right? We already know the Supreme Court's already ruled on it. But the Indiana Supreme Court affirmed the findings in the trial court judge who stated that although the plaintiff has expressed a legitimate and apparently sincere interest in an unborn fetus, his interest would not be sufficient to outweigh the constitutionally protected right of the defendant to abort her child. So consent, notice, whatever, all of that is overruled by the Constitution. And basically, somebody have a conversation with you or send you a letter, text, voicemail, say you're going to have, they're not going full term with a child. You know, I don't know. That just seems to me that would just be something you would have. You can have sex with that person. You definitely can tell them I'm not going full term with a pregnancy without any kind of intervention from the courts. Why does it take an intervention from the courts to be civil? Anyway, because guys are gonna know. I guess sometimes guys don't know that somebody had that abortion and they deserve to know. And I guess some guys don't even care, and some guys might be better off not knowing. I don't know. There's a lot of legal jargon going on behind this whole issue of abortion. So, father's right. In some cases, the father wants the baby while the mother wants an abortion, right? This is from the ethics guy. The abortion is largely devoted to dealing with the rights of the fetus and the mother. The rights and concerns of the father are rarely discussed. That's the bottom line. Even when they're discussed, they have no power. Somebody putting you on notice, that it's just you knowing something. You are powerless against the Constitution of the United States and a woman's right to control her body and right to privacy and a medical procedure. So, you know, so that's kind of like, why does somebody think she has to tell the father? That's kind of conflict right there. She have a right, you know, to have control over what medical procedure she has. But why do they think that she needs to inform the father of the termination of the pregnancy? So then they might be arguing about, you know, that conflict. This is not a normal situation here. Because I think it was just her going for a medical procedure. She doesn't have to tell nobody. But since she has a life in her that's part of somebody else, that's where the gray area comes in here where they, you know, going to court about, hey, wait a minute. This has something to do with me, you know. So I can kind of see it, but, you know, I can't see it, but, you know, that's you know, you can't force a person to have a child. The best thing to do is you know, I guess it's kind of cold to say, don't get them pregnant. If you're not ready to, both of you not ready to parent a child. Not have a child, parent, like together, it may not be the best thing to do to have a child because a child, you know, two parents is better than one. Two parents under the same roof. I'm assuming that their parents are two competent parents under the same roof. It's better than two competent parents not under the same roof. You know what I'm saying? So your kids get to look at, get this, a model of family for the children, what a family looks like. And I'm not saying that single families are not family, but we know that you didn't get to make a family by yourself. Neither one of us, the male or the female. Anyway, Fathers in the Court. In 2002, a new Chinese law put a man's right to have a child on an equal footing with the right of his wife. It's Chinese. All right, not here. And a man has sued his wife for infringing that right by having an abortion. Look at that. Look how litigious we've become. American courts have consistently decided that a woman's right to have an abortion can't be vetoed by her husband, partner, or ex-boyfriend, and also that a woman doesn't have to notify the father that she intends to have an abortion. In 1987 and 2001, men attempted in the UK court to prevent their former partners having abortion. They failed. So, because I was just speaking about United States courts, this is an issue, apparently a global issue. And it really speaks to another issue about us. But that's another show. Harm to the father, they say. Our father's rights have not been much discussed, they say. However, the philosopher George W. Harris has put forward the idea that there are circumstances under which a woman's decision to have an abortion would be morally wrong because it would do harm to the father. I guess he would be emotionally distraught and things like that. A woman can't legally deprive a man of his right to become a parent or force him to become one against his will. That's interesting. I'm just doing some being a devil's advocate. Suppose a guy just said he just want to force a woman to have a baby. He doesn't really care about the whole situation, but he used that if he had the right to do that. Suppose he just wanted to say, I'm going to make her have this baby. I know she don't want it, but that's just another way I'm going to get at her. I'm going to exercise my right to veto her right. I'm not saying that it exists in the United States. I'm just saying, suppose a guy just wanted to do that. You know, I know women have that power to have a child, even though a guy may not want it. But like I said, this is an unusual situation because we're talking about an entity inside somebody's body. So, it seems a little weird even having the conversation. If the father has a morally legitimate interest in having a child, and the mother misleads the father into believing that she will give him a child if he does certain things, and the father does those things for a specific purpose of having a family, then it is wrong for the mother deliberately to prevent the father from having a child. That's very interesting. This is an argument, they said, of what we just talked about. The case involved deliberate deception by the woman. You know, sometimes people have one child, and then they decide, I never want any more children. So I can imagine maybe something could happen between the time two people had sex, right? Might be on the same page about having a child, to the any time between that window, that 9-month period, that a person could change their mind about wanting to have a child. And people have broke up, things have happened in a relationship that, hey, they cannot be together. You know, oh, you're not the person that I thought you were. I would never have a child by a guy like you. Unfortunately, you know, things like that happen. And people get abortions. Anyway, they said the case involved deliberate deception by the woman. He wants children, but she doesn't. She deceives him by failing to tell him that she doesn't want a family. He devotes himself to her and the much-wanted family. She accidentally becomes pregnant. He is delighted, but she aborts the unborn child. Or the mother has a relationship as a part of a strategy to hurt men. She pretends to love him and pretends to want a child. He devotes himself to her and much and the much-wanted family. She becomes pregnant. She aborts the unborn child deliberately to hurt the father. Ooh. And like I just said, you know, I just had, my scenario was, suppose the father did it. God did have the right to do that. He could use that just to, you know, hurt the female, that right. But here we go, female deliberately aborting a child, you know, in theory, to hurt the father. I'm pretty sure that's probably has happened. And either on purpose or not, you know, I'm sure that has happened. Fathers have been affected by the termination of a fetus. I'm sure that has happened. Some fathers have been delighted, and some fathers have maybe supported termination of a fetus and not been delighted about the situation. So, and maybe, and mothers also. So this is a very sensitive subject, and I can see why some people would get we have a caller. Welcome to Provocative.
Hey, Carl.
What's up, bro?
This is Q. Can you hear me?
Q, what's up, Q?
Hey. I don't really have a problem with the whole, what you say, Roe versus Wade thing.
Yeah.
The way I figure is that, you know, everybody's contributing some DNA, but she has more at stake in the whole pregnancy thing. You know what I mean? He made a deposit, but her whole body's changing and everything like that. And so that's why I kind of feel that way towards that. And if he's going to have a kid, I guess he's got to find somebody else to that wants to have a kid with him, you know, go to full term and whatnot. But I don't have a problem with Roe versus Wade and the guy not really having any rights to, you know, to stop her from doing whatever she wants to do.
Right. So, I mean, it's her body.
I mean,
Roe versus Wade, outside of the Constitution, it kind of makes sense that that's her body. You know, I can understand why she's saying, you know, it's my body, I do what I want to do with it. Moral, ethically, that's a whole another ball game there. You know what I'm saying? But we're looking at legally, you're going to make somebody have a child they don't want. They don't want a child by you. They don't want a child, period. You know, you know, you're going to make them have it? How is that going to work for the child? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, like, not to be graphic in anything, but I can imagine that whole termination of a pregnancy thing, depending on how long you wait, is horrific for a fetus or a child. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, so, I mean, you know, just looking at that, you wouldn't want any kid to go through that. Because basically, you kill the child in the womb, then the womb automatically, I think, expels the child, unborn child, or, you know, something like that. You know, so that's why I guess they say, you know, it's easier to get an abortion termination in the first trimester, right? The earlier you do it, the easier it is, even legally, in terms of, you know, the law. So that makes sense because they're concerned. And I understand a person's concern for the unborn child because that child could be suffering in the womb. You don't know what kind of trauma, even though it's going to die, we don't know what kind of trauma that fetus is going through because of, you know, that situation. So I can understand it, you know, why a father might want somebody to have a child, you know, even though they don't want it. And I can imagine some people have had children and they didn't want it, and maybe that child lives with his father. You know, I don't. That's not far-fetched. It doesn't take a court to do that. You know,
right.
Kids do that anyway. Sometimes kids grow up, they go live with their father, or if it's a male, or sometimes, you know, whatever. You know, they might live with go live with their dad. They like it better over there. All my friends are in my dad's neighborhood. You know, so who knows. So I mean, it's a complex subject actually. When you look at the fact that, you know, I mean, depending on when you see parenthood, does parenthood start at conception or at birth. How do you look at it? You know what I'm saying? You know, because they have legal cases that recognize the fetus as an individual also, you know, as I was mentioned. So 38 states do that. So, you know, so I mean, it's involved and it's sad. I think there's no winners in this situation. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Legally there's a winner, but there's no winner in this whole situation. It's just sad, you know. Which brings me to, you know, what can you do before you get to this point? And, you know, because they mentioned contraception. I don't know if that's something that's played out now or anything like that. You know, people might want to consider methods of birth control. They got the IUD, mm-hmm. intrauterine device contraceptive implant. They have the birth control shot that they call it the Depo or something. The birth control pill, the birth control patch. I wonder how that works. The vaginal ring, mm-hmm. the diaphragm and cervical cap. Stop those jokers from getting up into the uterus. The male mm-hmm. condom, which everybody know about them. Trojan is probably one of the most famous ones. Lifestyle, I think. You know, you got the internal condom. I guess that's the female condom. Because they got external, so internal. And they got spermicide. And they got, well, you know, they got, of course, you don't have sex. That's not going to happen. You got withdrawal, which I don't know how many people are going to do that, but that will, you know, help you, you know, not be in a situation. And they have other things also. I didn't get into all of them, but I think those are the major ones right there, the ones that you're probably kind of familiar with. The who? Rhythm. Oh, yeah, the rhythm. That's right. When a certain time of the month, a woman is less likely to become pregnant. So you have that method also. All right, so there's a whole lot of other things you can do not to end up in this situation because, as I said, it appears to be a lose-lose situation. I don't care about constitutional rights, state rights, laws, and things like that. This is a lose-lose situation. You know, one night of fun, a weekend of fun, whatever, a month of fun, and now you got a situation here that had to go before the Supreme Court. You understand who? How does something like, you know, who would think that, you know, you having sex with somebody and that situation would be driven all the way up to the Supreme Court? From that situation, that something with, you know, that's deep, man. And, you know, so I don't know, it's a lose-lose situation. You know, people just, I'm just going to say, you know, if you can't, you know, avoid this situation right here so that you don't have, not because the Constitution supports you, just because this is a situation you don't want to be in. That's why you're trying to terminate the pregnancy, because you don't want to be in it. So, you know, use contraception, you know, and don't be afraid. Communicate with the person you've been in, having sex with. Let them know, you know, before you even have sex, if I get pregnant, this is the deal. You know, be able to ride that. Right? How about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we are... I'm running out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight. And this is not a pleasant topic, but I thought it was a good topic. Until next week, peace, y'all. Each one reach one. Thank you, Q. Each one teach one.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.